on this podcast, it's revealed. For the breakdown left tonight, like you go, we're taking flight. Every story, every fight, for the breakdown every night.
What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Wednesday night. It's February 5th, 2025. First February episode of the Boiler Breakdown Podcast. I'm Tanner Lee, but as you can see live here on the Boiler Breakdown YouTube channel and on Facebook, hit that like button, subscribe button, follow button, all that good stuff if you haven't already. Normal co-host Evan Webb is not across from me on the screen. He is taking the night off, taking the week off, whatever you want to call it. Good friend of the show, Aaron Lynch. He's no stranger at this point joining me. Lynch, how's it going? I'm guessing you're in a pretty good mood like I am after last night's game.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. Hopefully I can come in, throw some high heat in relief of Evan. But after last night's game, I think this will be, after this last week, I think an easy pod to talk about and looking forward ahead to the gauntlet next week.
Yeah. The gauntlet definitely starts. I know we got the USC game to talk about coming up Friday at Mackey, but assuming Purdue gets through that one unscathed, yeah, next week starts quite a gauntlet, which a lot of Big Ten teams are finding themselves in a gauntlet come this month of February, but that's college basketball and that's conference play. Got a YouTube comment here from Derek. Let's go. He says it was always going to end up this way. Braden Smith equals GOAT. Braden's definitely climbing the charts for GOAT status among Purdue lore. I definitely think he already holds the greatest Purdue point guard of all time role, and and he's not even done with the junior season yet.
I would have to agree. He's best probably point guard two-way player we've ever seen.
I mean, I know he's still got this season and then hopefully next year, assuming he returns. He could wind up being one of, if not the best point guard in Big Ten history by the time it's all said and done, which is just wild to think about. A kid from Westfield that wasn't very highly recruited and snuck under the radar and just continues to get better and better.
Correct. I mean, let's pause on the greatest Big Ten point guard of all time, but I would say of turn of this century, I mean, I'm thinking Cleaves, I'm thinking Conley. I mean, these are guys in my head. I mean, he's definitely better than them. Neitzel, definitely far and above all those guys.
Well, and I think a lot of people do think it's Mateen Cleaves, just because, I mean, he was not only was a good player, but he also got his team to a national championship and won it. I mean, being the last Big Ten team to do so back in 2000, which is really hard to believe. It's been 25 years, but
I mean, Big Ten's ran into some buzz halls though in the title games.
That's true. The one that probably had the best shot was either Wisconsin against Duke or Michigan against Louisville, which Michigan had to lead a decent amount of that game and then kind of fell apart.
You don't think Odin's Ohio State team against Florida?
They were good, but that I thought Florida was kind of a bust haul, back-to-back champs. I mean, they were pretty darn good.
The two that really stick out is that one in MSU against UNC, but, I mean, that was Tyler Hansbrough.
Yeah, that was an MSU team that probably didn't even belong in the national championship game, but they got there.
Oh, well, fate has it, because when the calendar turns in March and it turns this time of year, it's Izzo's game. But we'll talk about more of that as we go forward.
Yeah, we will. But, I mean, this is the first pod we've done since before the Indiana game last week. And Purdue found themselves in quite a dogfight last Friday night, to say the least. I mean, but then they survived by a final score of 81-76. What was your mindset during the game? Where was your mind at? And what's your big takeaway from that game?
Probably the big takeaway is the refs. I'm not going to lie, the calls in the second half were kind of ridiculous. And I want to say I felt like it was kind of being called fair, but I felt towards the end in under 10 minutes, it was starting to get called Indiana's way. I think when it got under 1 minute, I was like, oh, no, we might lose this game.
I was right there with you. 30 seconds left. I wasn't feeling very good.
I was like, unbelievable. And to get a hook shot from the Big Ten logo, that's not a shot I would think is high percentage.
If you watch that replay, if he misses, Indiana gets the rebound. There was two Indiana guys and Cam Heidi was boxed out. I mean, that was the whole thing. But he made it. So
it was kind of mind blowing. Braden didn't have a three that game, which we'll get into Iowa's game. I mean, Kaufman, Wren, I mean, the big three with them. I mean, Braden having 24, Kaufman, Wren having 23, Fletcher 15. Jakari played very well that game, I thought. But to only shoot 15% from downtown and win that game when they were near a clip of 40%, I literally thought this was a game we're going to drop. And I thought to myself, you know, if it wasn't for the defense and the plus 10 turnover margin, it made me realize that team has so much talent but is not coached.
I think that's probably drives IU fans more nuts than anything. And then to combat that, they come out last night and look flat as flat can be in the first few minutes against Wisconsin. And that game was, even though, I mean, I know it ended up a 12-point game, that game was over within 8 minutes because just the way it started. That's got to drive IU fans nuts because they do have talent. Like I told my wife before the IU game Friday, I said, IU is more talented than Purdue, but Purdue is better basketball players. And she was really confused what I was trying to say. I said, well, Purdue is better coached and they got guys that fit their system and know how to play within each other and as a team, whereas IU's got some guys that I think, quite frankly, are there just because of the paycheck.
They are, but I mean, you could see – I wonder how fractured that locker room was because Bala was hot on that sideline.
Left the court without shaking anybody's hand after the game.
And to every right, he has to be hot because, I mean, think about how they collapsed against Maryland and it was Rice taking that horrid shot in the corner, like low percentage. And then they come out a week later and literally have the game pretty much handed to you from the refs. And from that point, all you have to do is honestly push Kaufman run out probably the free throw line. I don't think he makes that.
Yeah.
I mean, and you win that game.
Yeah. Looking at the stats, I mean, it's kind of crazy to see two teams shoot over 50% in a Big Ten game, but Indiana shot 56.6%, Purdue shot 52.7%. Indiana shot 36.8 from behind the arc, 7-19. Purdue's only 2-for-13, 15.4.
They didn't make the free throws either, though. I mean,
yeah, Indiana was 9-for-16 from free throw line. Purdue was 21-for-28. Indiana won the war on the board, 32-26. Excuse me.
Yes, they defensive rebounds. Ballo was definitely getting those.
But then, like you mentioned earlier, the turnovers: Purdue at 10, Indiana at 20. So that was a big difference. Mbaku, 25 points in 36 minutes. Bala had 14 points. Trey Galloway, maybe his game of the year, 15 points. And then Luke Goody, 13 points. And
even Anthony Lil
had six. Yeah, the Indiana boys, which Woodson did that. I mean, that was a wrinkle he put in there. He played the Indiana boys a bunch, and they seemed to care. But like you said, Miles Rice with that terrible shot against Maryland, 0 points. Against Purdue, you just can't have your point guard not doing anything like that. Malik Renew, 3 points in 8 minutes because of foul trouble, which that's been a constant for him the last month. He cannot stay out of foul trouble. And then look at the box score for Purdue. Kaufman ran 23 points, 26 minutes. He had 4 fouls. Braden Smith, 24 points, played every single second of the game. Fletcher Lawyer, 15 and 31 minutes. Those were the only three guys double figures scoring. Jakari was third in scoring with 9 points. Even though I thought CJ Cox and Camden Heidi did some good things, even though they don't pop out in the box score necessarily.
No, they don't. I think them contributing the 26 to 15 points off turnover margin, definitely.
Yeah,
they were a part of that. And I honestly, this team's probably the best. It's hard for me to I can't remember a team this good defensively without an actual rim protector.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it's funny because midway through December to late December, Evan and I are constantly talking about how bad this team was defensively.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of ever since that Minnesota game in January, it clicked. Something clicked.
yeah, after that Toledo game, it's definitely clicked. I remember I was on here with Evan and we were talking about that. I just see there's some deficiencies, and I've been having this argument, and I don't know if you and Evan have talked about this, but I think this team, there, you categorize teams in regards to elite. I think Auburn is just an elite team this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's three locks for one seeds right now, which I consider elite teams.
Correct. And I think this team is like a very, very good team with us. I think there's deficiencies in regards to low post passing. I know I texted you yesterday and I said, if TKR could actually pass like Travion, like this opens up this offense completely with cross court passes. But not having a rim protector on defense, I know it doesn't hurt us right now. And not having, when TKR goes out on offense, I mean, Braden had create his own shot last night, but
yeah,
if Fletcher's not hitting threes, I mean, it goes back to hitting open shots in a post guy, and maybe Jacobson can be it next year, but I think that's where this team is moving forward. We'll see next week, but if that happens, they've overcome a lot of those deficiencies in Painter and having, like, guys are swarming the ball, they're rotating, they're shifting it. Well, especially, I would say more so the IU game than last night. Last night was kind of a crapshoot, but I've never seen anything like this where a team's that good defensively without a rim protector.
Yeah, no doubt. And they haven't ran into any teams lately that pressure the ball big time full court, like Marquette, Penn State, Auburn, A&M to a certain extent. I mean, the teams they really struggled against. But you won't find too many of those, even in the NCAA tournament. Now, those teams I just named, even though Penn State won't make the NCAA tournament, the others will. Those teams I named can play that style, but luckily for Purdue, not a lot of teams can play that style. So when it comes to the NCAA tournament, it's all going to be about matchups. Joe Lunardi right now, amazingly, has Purdue as the number one 2 seed in bracketology.
I would say this team's looking for a lock in that Midwest region, for the Indianapolis region, probably. Would it be Milwaukee or is it Columbus? I can't remember.
The one I saw this week as Purdue, a 2 seed in Milwaukee.
Okay. I couldn't remember if it was Columbus or Milwaukee feeding into the Indy. It's the three, I think, that goes to Columbus. It's the two that would be Milwaukee. I think
either way, I mean, at the start of season, I was saying if they could get a 5 seed, I'd be thrilled. I never thought they'd be in this position as of right now after losing the back-to-back National Player of the Year.
Another National Player of the Year on this roster.
Could I mean, last night he went into, okay, I got to take this game over mode, and he did just that.
The list, I guess let's wrap up the IU game. Any thoughts before we go into last night's game in regards to concerns of going to Bloomington? We got to play them.
Oh, I think they'll be out for blood. Especially with their upcoming schedule.
They're going to take quite a few L's.
And I think it's kind of like what you brought up. I wish I would know the mindset of that locker room, because they could just quit and just fold in. But Purdue will probably still be ranked pretty well coming into that game, even if they lose a game before then or two or whatever. But they're going to be out for blood, and they should be confident knowing they can hang with Purdue. But I thought if they could have came into Mackey and upset us, could have breathed life into their season. But didn't happen. And last night, Wisconsin just totally suffocated them, which I keep forgetting every year until I see it. They haven't won at Wisconsin since 1998 in basketball.
I forgot they never won there when –
I mean, Knight was the coach, and Bennett was still the coach at Wisconsin. Clinton was in office. Titanic was the number one movie. They were showing a whole list of things in 1998 the last time.
I forgot the Zeller, Yogi,
Depot. They
didn't win there. I forgot about that.
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I know we haven't beat them in football since 2003 and haven't beat them at home in football since 1998. But in basketball, that's kind of even more crazy.
That is nuts.
Yeah. But I was frustrated a majority of the IU game, but Purdue got it done. They survived, and I felt good knowing a lot of my IU friends probably had their hopes up all game until the very end. So
probably, I think they're ready for change.
Oh yeah, yeah. I haven't met an IU fan that wants Mike Woodson back. So
that can be an off-season topic. What's happening there? But good for Woody. Just keep up the good work. Collect that check.
Got some comments here we need to get to. Derek on YouTube. With 8 games left, it feels like going 5-3 gets us a share of the Big Ten. Looking through everyone's remaining schedules, I think 15-5 shares it. 16-4 gets it outright. What are your thoughts? I agree with 16-4. I've said for a long time I thought 16-4 would get it done. So I'm right there with you.
No other comments on that. I agree.
Ted Berkey on YouTube, we may be in first, but we still have a long way to go. Need to earn every win, and hopefully we can get a three-peat. There's no easy game in conference play. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's a home or on the road. I mean, everybody thought Minnesota was an easy game at one time, and they're definitely not the worst team in the conference. So.
Nope. They're fine to get into the Big Ten tourney.
Yeah, yeah, which is going to be interesting. I keep forgetting three teams aren't making it this year. So, Cameron Day on Facebook, Shamrock Boys saves our ass again. Cameron Day's a Westfield Shamrock himself. So, yes, I'm fine with him doing that.
Yep.
Yeah, Ted Berkey get on YouTube. Could Braden earn Player of the Year next year?
If we go on a run, I think it's possible that he's going to be up top three this year.
Yeah, I think he could be in the conversation. It might be hard to get away from Cooper Flagg.
The media attention on Flagg this year is
they love him, which he is pretty darn good.
He's special.
Duke's one of those three teams I think that is elite this year. Still pains me to see Mason Gillis playing for them, but
he had to do what he was going to do, so.
Yep, he did. He did. And really, to Painter's credit, or not to – and how do I want to word it? It's not really Painter's fault because, you know, he talks to the players at the start of the year, and Mason and Ethan weren't going to come back and play college basketball. Then they switched their minds. So, Derek on YouTube definitely think he will be the front runner next year, talking about Braden. I don't see how he doesn't win Big Ten Player of the Year this year, unless the Big Ten media doesn't want a team winning it three straight years or having a player win it three straight years, because I don't think that's ever happened in the Big Ten.
I think it's going to be hard. I mean, the stat line last night that he's the first player since Jason Kidd to be putting up those kind of stats.
Yeah, pretty good company. Yeah.
Who was it? It was him, Magic, Kenny Anderson. Who else was that other player?
I saw it and I don't remember.
Those are the four I remember. And every single one of them had a cup of coffee in the NBA.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Quite a while, too.
Yeah.
So,
no, he's special. He's really ramped up his defense this year. I didn't see that coming. I didn't think he'd lead the Big Ten steals. But here we are.
Let me ask this. Is his defensive performance this year better than what Chris Kramer's was at point guard back in?
Different rules, so it's hard to tell. I don't know if Kramer can stay on the floor with the rules in college basketball now with how aggressive he used to be. I still don't think he's as good at stealing the basketball as Chris Kramer. But
I don't think Chris Kramer could go to court with that basketball, though.
No.
And make a pass like he does.
No. So I still think Chris is the best defender I've seen at Purdue. But Braden's, I don't know if I've seen a Purdue player improve defensively from one year to the next like Braden Smith. So interesting discussion, though.
I can't
remember. Like Ted said, Kramer lived in your jersey.
Yep.
Yeah, he did, especially with the rules back then. Derek, is this Painter's best coaching job ever? Rebuild year and lost National Player of the Year, and now is in line to win the Big Ten and get a one or two seed. Take a bad defense and made them elite.
That's a good question. If this ain't one, this is two for sure.
Yeah, this is a pretty good coaching job. Especially, I mean, look back in December when we dropped, you know, four games by the end of December. I think a lot of fans were in panic mode.
I would agree. I'm trying to, the thing is with all these underclassmen, I mean, yeah, they do have experience, but they all technically are underclassmen.
Mm-hmm.
Not a senior led roster. You do have some deficiencies in the post.
Yep.
And you've now really covered those up with an elite point guard. And Coffin Wren stepped up to be a post presence that I didn't think he could ever. If he was going to be this, I thought it was going to be his senior year, more or less.
I agree. I always thought he would end up being a really good player by the end of his career at Purdue. I mean, you could see like the raw footwork the last 2 years, and he knew he had skill.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think he was going to make this big of a jump though, from a sophomore to junior year, like he has.
Correct. Maybe 14 is the year, like 14, 13, 14, when that was probably, I think, maybe Painter's other job that's thinking sticking in my head.
You mean 14, 15?
14, 15, yeah.
13, 14, we were got off.
Yeah.
So we were in school.
Yes, yes, yes.
We got last.
No, that was 12, 13. 12, 13 12. Was last in the Big Ten.
I thought 14, last in football. 14 was last.
12, 13 was
last. Okay.
No. You're right, we weren't, because that was DJ Bird's senior year.
Yes, yes.
It was
yes.
13, 14. You are correct.
Yeah, yeah. Overlapped. Football, 13. The basketball started in 13, finished at 14. We were last in both 14, seasons. Yeah.
14, 15 is the year I was thinking would potentially could be one.
Vince Edwards, PJ, Isaac, Dakota's freshman year.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And because you still had AJ at that time and also
Rafe Davis, yep. Derek on YouTube, I'm mind blown at Braden's durability, playing as much as he does with his usage and at his size. Yeah, me too. I don't know how the guy could play practically 40 minutes every game without taking a breather. Yeah. Ted Berkey, speaking of Raphael, said Raphael improved tremendously defensively. Yeah, he did.
Yep.
I remember watching him in high school. And he did not play a lick of defense. Derek on YouTube, Painter said for 2 years that TKR was an all-conference player, but was behind Edie. Never believed it to this extent, but have to trust Painter. I remember Matt saying that too.
He saw the potential. We just didn't think it was going to be right now.
No. And really, you know, I thought Miles and Heidi would take bigger steps this year than they have. And I know Cam's, he'll rebound now and then and do some other stuff, but he just hasn't been able to hit the open shot. Miles is just in a funk right now. I feel bad for him. But the bad thing is, not only he's not hitting shots, he's not doing anything else.
Last night he had that big block. I'm not gonna lie, going up at the rim.
Yeah, but he's not getting a lot of rebounds, and to where, even though they had some freshman kind of bumps in the road early on, CJ Cox and Jakari Harris started to play very confident, especially defensively. Yep. Both those guys. So.
Yep. No, I would 100% agree.
Yeah. Especially Jakari. I mean, CJ's probably been a little more consistent all year than Jakari, but Jakari's starting to really find his own.
He's showing flashes now.
Yep. And as Derek points out, TKR is up to almost 19 points a game.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. He's making a bid for all conference for sure.
Absolutely is.
Last night, Purdue went into Carver-Hawkeye, got the 90-81 win in what might be Purdue's last time facing Fran McCaffrey. I think things are teetering that way. I think, you know, he's a good coach, but he's been there a long time. I think fans are kind of tired of him up there. Maybe a break's good for both sides. I was mad we didn't get a Fran technical or anything. Fran going nuts like he normally does.
I messaged you. I was like, man, this place is empty.
It sounded like Penn State.
The students weren't even there. You didn't hear them. Crowd noise. You heard Painter yelling and Fran yelling on the telecast. And you're like, man, this thing, there's no energy in this building.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't. And Freeman being out the rest of your year doesn't help them because they have no post presence at all.
And, well, when when TKR got in foul trouble in the first half, I was like, oh, man, they're starting to feed. And they were cutting off passing lanes with Braden.
Yeah.
We also our guys weren't going on the top of the screens. They were going underneath, and they were Sanford was hitting shots, and so was Dix.
And yeah, when they're hitting, they're a totally different team. Yeah. But, Dix had 27 points. Sanford had 23.
I know.
Besides that. Harding at 11. Nobody else did much of anything.
I mean, on Brian's recap last night, when he said, like, definitely this team hung with Purdue for 20 minutes, 100% agree when they were hitting shots and TKR was out. Yeah, I mean, them trapping Braden at half court and having backcourt violations and those turnovers, those were.
Which Painter ripped Burgess a new one on that one time because he did not come up to help Braden at all. I mean, he screamed at him. I hadn't seen him get on a player like that in a while. But freshman's got to learn.
Well, I mean, when you're playing an underclassman like this, you can't go back to the bench because there ain't no one mid there. I mean, you're going to tell Berg to come out here?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to mention, I mean, you know, I don't mean to pick on Will Berg by any means, but you can tell where the confidence is from the coaching staff when Trey Kaufman Ring gets in foul trouble, and even when Caleb First gets in foul trouble, and they don't even think of bringing him out.
Nope. They're going to run small ball and be done with it.
Yep.
I mean, that tells you a lot. I actually wonder if they would bring Waddell in before they bring Berg in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good question because, I mean, you feel for the guy in a way. I mean, he went from starting game one to not seeing the floor at all, but there's reasons. There's reasons.
You would think after practicing against Edie every day, you would be.
You would think.
Have some upside. So hopefully for his sake, he can get back on it. That's here, that's somewhere else. We'll move on with that. But.
Yep.
Going into last night's game, surprise first half defense from Iowa, given that they don't play defense this year.
Right. Ever.
Yeah. Dix definitely played better than what he played against Ohio State. Definitely. I was shocked. Sanford was just hitting things unconscious. Harding came in and off the bench, right at spark plug. I think that kid's got potential. It's just I think that team needs a refresh.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way. Don't know if that is the parting ways what you said, but I did start thinking to myself, does Fran just recruit brothers? I think about how many brothers like he's had on that team. Like in his 15 years there, and it's kind of mind blowing.
Well, you know, it tells me that the players actually like playing for him.
Correct.
Because why would a younger brother go there if Big Brother didn't like playing there? So,
correct.
Even though he can be a nut job from an outsider looking in, but I think he's a pretty good coach. It just like I said earlier, I think it's just time for both sides to split.
I would agree. I just wonder if there's going to be backlash like from Keegan Murray, player
Luka Garza.
Yeah. If not, I guarantee Butler would hire him.
Yeah, the Thad Mata era is not going down in Indy.
Nope.
Yeah.
And his son's already on that staff, so.
Yep. That's true. A couple comments here. Derek here says Cox and Harris are who we thought Heidi and Colvin would be. If Heidi and Colvin pick it up down the stretch, it'll be a massive boost. Oh, for sure. For sure. John Hawks here on YouTube. I wonder how Jacobson would be playing with the beating and banging that goes with playing in the pain of the Big Ten. Oh, he would definitely take some in the chops and take his bruises, but he'd be tougher for it. That was my biggest thing is he just – not only would he probably help us as a rim protector, he loses a whole year of in-game experience, growth and development. I know he gets a year of watching. That's not the same as being out there on the court and experiencing it. So.
Correct. I think it's sucks for his point in development, but I think he'll be fine. I think going through the player development, like just almost to redshirt this year, will help, but. I think he would have been playing limited minutes anyways, is spelling probably first and TKR at this point. I think Painter probably would have gotten to this point with him probably coming off the bench.
Yeah, that wouldn't be surprised. That wouldn't have been a surprise. And going back, if you were saying Waddell would play over Berg, John said Waddell can shoot the pill, that's why.
Yep.
No, Waddell, I mean, find me a better 10th or 11th man in the country.
Can't.
Derek says, got to run. We'll watch the rest later. Great job as always, guys. Boiler up. Also, let's go Oregon. Oregon is currently playing Michigan. Yes. So, Mitch Milton on Facebook, going back to your comment about my Fran's son being on Butler's staff, but his other son left. He did.
He did.
He didn't want to play for dad anymore.
That is true. I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah, I saw him on a commercial the other day for Butler. Yeah. I don't know how he's doing. I mean, they're not doing good as a team, so no. I don't think the season's going that great.
I think are they last in the Big East or DePaul last?
Holtman's done a better job at DePaul than recent years, but they're still struggling. So I don't know. That's a good question.
Last I checked, Butler had won 8 games only, so I was...
Yeah, I'll have to check that here in a second. John said, you got to be in the family to be made a Boilermaker. And Ted, it is sad that another old coach in the Big is leaving. Iowa isn't a school that is hard to dislike.
And that's just
our speculation. I mean, we could be wrong. He could be back. Yeah. But I think we could see a couple Big Ten schools make coaching changes. So,
well, I think there's probably at least 2 I can think of for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who's the other one for you?
I think one's going to open up. And it's just I think that there's just going to be movement. Like, let's say UCLA is what I was thinking. Cronin.
Yeah.
I just feel like someone's going to go to a different job, more or less, not get fired.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with Rutgers and Pikel. He's done a really good job there, but
they can't get anyone better. That program was trash.
It was trash. It was trash. When they got to the Big Ten, Purdue was beating them by 50.
The only one I've thought about lately is just because of how bad Notre Dame's been, is Shrewsbury regretting leaving Penn State?
He could be. Yeah.
Because I felt like that program is turning the corner. I understand he has a top 5 recruiting class coming in this next year.
Right. It's going to be what can that class do. But if in today's age, if you're losing, why would Burton stay? Why would some of these other guys who are on your roster stay? Why wouldn't they go elsewhere?
Correct.
So, and if Harrelson's as good as they say, he might be a one and done. So.
I can't remember what's one and done in Notre Dame.
I don't know if they've ever had one in our lifetime.
I'm going to look that up.
I mean, I've seen a couple guys jumping after 3 years, like Troy Murphy. They've had a couple others. I can't think. But, yeah, no, I don't remember any one and dones.
Why don't you pay some bills, and I'll look it up real quick.
Okay, I can do that. Yeah, maybe you're heading down to Lafayette, over to Lafayette, up to Lafayette. I don't know, wherever you live, what direction to get to Lafayette. Maybe you're in Lafayette and you just drive over to Mad Mush. But what I'm trying to say is, if you're looking for anywhere to eat before or after the game Friday night when the Boilers take on USC, you can't go wrong with Mad Mush. Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette, and they're known as the home of the original cheese sticks. But whenever I visit, Andrew visits, Webby visits, Aaron visits, we like to sit down and have an ice-cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which it is February, so we got a new pizza of the month. Pizza of the month for February is the Mad Chili. It's Mad Mushrooms hand-tossed, covered in a house-made chili with onions, jalapenos, mozzarella, and cheddar cheeses, and finished with corn chips, starting at just $14. So next time you're in town, stop on in, tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20, and any Boiler Breakdown listener and viewer can also use the coupon code BREAK5, that's all caps, BREAK5, to claim your discount online at madmushroom.com. It's Mad Mushroom, feed your head. Now I remember them having that special last year. Looks like one I'd definitely like.
Hopefully they got the chili from the Schoolhouse of Chili. I miss that place.
It's not open anymore.
No, it's been closed for a long time.
Oh, you're just saying. Got the recipe.
Got the recipe.
One of the many recipes they had. Okay, I got you.
Yeah,
got
Schoolhouse of Chili. Miss it.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was I was a fan of that place.
So there was one. Blake Wesley, who on the Spurs, went 25th. Wow. In the 2022 NBA draft.
I forgot about that kid.
Yep.
Wow.
Michigan native. Yep. I totally forgot about him too.
Yeah, totally forgot about him. Good for him. But, yeah, going back to the Iowa game last night, the stats were pretty closely even across the board. Purdue shot slightly better, 52.6%, made 30 of 57 shots. Iowa's 30 for 58, 51.7%. Behind the arc, Purdue shot 48%, 12 for 25. Iowa's 36.7%, 11 for 30. As the commentators kept saying, Iowa needed to hit at least 15 to win the game. They weren't wrong.
Nope.
Free throws, Purdue was 18 for 23 for 78.3%. Iowa's 10 for 16 for 62.5%. And the guys who missed the free throws for Iowa were guys that normally hit pretty much all their free throws.
So, yep, that was shocking.
Yeah. I'm trying to check here. I see I got a text message from Webby here. I'm trying to see if there's anything.
And also with that win.
He must be watching because he said Wesley's one and done for ND. Friends with Ivy.
Okay. Yep.
Yep.
Good call
I
there.
I forgot about that dude. So
should have called in.
Rebounds. Purdue out rebound Iowa 33-26. 10 of those are offensive, 23 defensive. Assists. Iowa had more assists, 19-13. Iowa had 4 blocks, Purdue's 1. Purdue had 9 steals, Iowa's 5. Both teams had 11 turnovers. So pretty even across the board.
Definitely even across the board. That's quad win 13 as well for us.
Yep.
I think we're still 1 behind Kentucky and Auburn. Am I right?
That sounds right. Top of my head without doing any research. Which Kentucky got smacked. Kentucky got whooped last night.
And you were complaining in November when I was like, we gotta win this old Miss game.
I was.
And you were like, calm down. There's more. And I was like, no, this is a big game.
You're right. I was wrong. You were 100% right back in November. Caleb First last night, 10 points, 9 rebounds, 27 minutes. Trey Kaufman ran 25 points, 7 rebounds in 27 minutes. Brady Smith, 31 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists in 40 minutes. Fletcher Lawyer, 9 points, 4 assists in 27 minutes. CJ Cox also had 9 points in 23 minutes. Jakari Harris, 3 points in 21 minutes. Camden Heidi, 3 points in 21 minutes. Miles Colvin played 8 minutes, did not score. And
had that huge
Raleigh block. Burgess. Yeah, Raleigh Burgess, 5 minutes and did not score. So, that was the trip to Iowa, the one and done for Purdue against them, unless they see them in the Big Ten tournament. Purdue still has 2 teams that they'll see for a second time coming up in Indiana and Rutgers.
Yep.
Here.
I think that Rutgers team is going to be completely different.
Probably. I see Harper is questionable tonight against Illinois for the first time in like 2 months. So
I think it's got to be conditioning at this point why he's not. I mean, he's got to get tape on. I mean, he doesn't have to, but he probably wants to put some good tape on there for the scouts. You know, he's got his dad's genes at this point.
Yes, Ted, thank you. I don't know how I missed the Michigan game coming up next Tuesday.
Yep.
Yeah, that one too, obviously. That's a big one, and they'll be out for blood for sure because Purdue just absolutely whooped them the first time. And I was going to just check the score right now to see how they are doing against Oregon. Let's see here. Michigan is up 58-46 with 14:29 left. Oregon has just imploded on itself.
They have, but it's hard when you're coming into a new conference and and this isn't football where it's like 1 week travel. I mean, I can't imagine what their travel schedule is like. Wonder how like women's basketball is compared to like men's on the West Coast team.
Well, just wait till spring sports too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for like baseball, softball, and track. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Ted Burke, I'm nervous for all of our road games left. We could lose any of them. Yeah, that's just life in the Big Ten. It's not easy on the road. That's why you gotta enjoy and savor every road victory for sure. Yeah, they're not gonna be easy. Michigan will be tough. Michigan State's gonna be tough. Indiana's gonna be tough.
Illinois,
of course, gonna be tough. Yeah. So sick of playing them at the end of the season, but whatever.
It is what it is. I don't have any other comments on last night's game. Just another good quad one win.
Yeah, score 90 points, get the dub. So, not on Peacock this upcoming Friday night when USC comes into town at 8 o'clock. It's Fox Sports 1. Still could be Stephen Bardo again. I don't know. But I was trying to look it up. I cannot find. They probably have. I just can't find any good reference. I'm on college basketball reference or sports reference for college basketball. I cannot find.
We've never played.
Previous played USC.
We've never played in basketball. I've looked too.
Yeah. So, yeah, Trojans coming into town, coming off a bad loss last night at Northwestern.
Yep.
Who's without Brooks Barnheiser anymore for the rest of the year. I didn't know if Northwestern, would win another game, and they win the first one without him. So, which actually Chris Collins is doing a pretty good job with everything they've been through.
He's going to be able to choose to leave, or it's going to be a mutual parting of ways whenever that time comes. They're happy with him.
Yeah, I am looking up here just to double check if Purdue's ever played USC. I'm finding every opponent they've ever played, and I'm not.
I looked earlier today, and I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. So, unless we're wrong, it'll be the first time. They played in football before. Of course, the Rose Bowl and in 1998 Pigskin Classic, Breeze's first start, and they'll play this upcoming fall in football. But
there might be an old game from the early 1900s that we're missing that's just not referenced.
Could be.
So, yeah, Fox Sports 1, I mean, we're following Live Golf on Friday night.
Oh, really?
So, I'm hopefully close out a week.
Mitch Mellon wanted to know what happened to Barnheiser if he ran out of teeth. I honestly, did you catch what his injury was, Lynch? I just caught that he was out for the year.
No, I didn't catch it either. He just said out for the year. I don't think that it
busted his teeth. He's busted his nose this year.
He's gonna have that facial surgery, I feel like.
Yeah, poor guy. Poor guy struggling. But no, it's gonna be interesting rest of the Big Ten season. See who ends up getting into the Big Ten tournament, who gets into the NCAA tournament, then see who can do some damage in the NCAA tournament. So I definitely think there's some teams in the Big Ten that can make some noise in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, there definitely is going to be foot injury.
Oh, all right.
Not a face injury.
Start with an F though.
It did, but foot injury. I think there's going to be some noise. I think the Big Ten as a whole is pretty consistent in regards to depth. It's definitely not top tier in regards to like the SEC, but definitely has the depth. I think there's going to be at least six can get in easily, for sure.
My co-host I do a Monday Night Podcast with said 10. But this was 2 weeks ago. I went back and listened to it today, and he named Indiana and Nebraska 2 weeks ago as getting in. I don't see that.
Maybe those two at least. I'm for sure six is a lock.
So who are your locks? Who are your six locks?
Maryland, us, mm-hmm. MSU, Illinois, Wisconsin.
UCLA?
I was going to say UCLA, and I mean, Oregon to me is just like free falling right now.
Well, I think Michigan's in right now. Michigan State. Yeah, Michigan.
I forgot about Michigan. Yep. So many teams now. I mean, Ohio State could.
Yeah. They're probably on the right side right now.
They're on the right side of the bubble.
Now that I say it out loud, that's about nine. So
he's probably nine. So he's probably not wrong.
Yeah.
He'll feel very proud about that one.
Oh, yeah, he will. Yeah, well, he also said as a line I would make the Final Four and then football make the playoff. So we'll see.
I'm not putting Bass at the football playoff.
Well, I mean, they return a lot of talent. So
they return probably a first round pick and quarterback next year too.
Yeah. Olmeyer's pretty good. So. That's a long ways away from now. Correct. So they got to worry about Rutgers tonight. Because they could easily drop their sixth conference game against Ohio State on Sunday, but they came back and won. So
I had a conversation with him, and mm-hmm. I asked him, I said, Underwood is probably one of the worst second half adjustment coaches I've ever seen.
He's not a good in game coach.
Like if it like any way deters away from what the initial game plan is, that man cannot adjust.
No.
And I, right. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Especially no, it's it.
Guys like him that constantly have top 25 teams and not be able to do that with how many opportunities you would think you'd be getting better at it the more opportunities you have at it.
You would think, but he's a weasel, in my opinion.
Great recruiter. Can't deny that. Yes,
he is. No, especially now that he could, you don't have to cheat anymore. He can play within the rules.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah. Go overseas too and get all the 21 year olds who have played 4 years of pro ball and bring them over as freshmen.
Gosh, you are 100% right about that one.
But hey, if it's within the rules, whatever, do whatever.
I mean, it's pro sports at this point.
Yeah. It'll be interesting with Must Bus coming in Friday night.
Yep.
So, which he has coached at Purdue before.
Yeah. So yes.
Not at USC.
No. So, predictions for Friday night?
Yeah. We'll do a bowl prediction, a score prediction, and MVP. Oh gosh, what do I want to do for my bowl prediction? I don't think I've used this one. I know Webby has. I don't think I have. Maybe I have. I know the people in the comments have. Braden Smith finally gets triple double Friday night.
Okay.
That's my bold prediction. Score prediction, Boilers 82, USC 65. I think Purdue wins pretty comfortably. And MVP, well, if he's going to get a triple-double, I got to go with Braden as MVP of the game.
So. Okay. I can be on that. I think score prediction is going to be very close to that. I think it's going to be, I'm going to say 75-57.
More of a relaxing game than the last couple.
Mm-hmm.
That's two, at least.
Bold predictions, I think Fletcher hits 5 threes.
I can see that.
What's the other thing?
MVP.
MVP, Fletcher.
I think Fletcher, if he hits 5 threes, that's at least 15
points. Yeah, I was going to say, he's going to get to the line, too, on top of that, because he's going to pump fake some guys out. I was looking to see if there was a line. I mean, matchup indicator has Purdue as 85% chance to win.
John's agreeing with me here on YouTube that Smith's going to get a triple-double club.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to happen. I don't think it might be Friday night.
Yeah. I'm just throwing it out there because I don't think I've used that one. I might have. I can't remember. We do a lot of these, so I don't remember what I've used up.
I think Fletcher's been kind of – he's not had some great games, and I think he'll just burst on Friday night, home game.
Yeah, he can disappear at times, but he shows up when Purdue really needs him to.
He's definitely not as inconsistent as Sasha was.
No.
So, I mean, that's what I was afraid of. But, yeah, they've lost three out of their last five. This is the hardest place to play, in my opinion, in college basketball. Outside of
what he did. Yeah, because, the one everybody's always talked about, Fog Allen, not this year.
Nope.
Not this year. It's Kansas, 2 years in a row, just hard to figure out.
I saw the three hardest places to play college basketball. I can't remember the third one now, but it was us, Houston.
Was it Cameron Indoor?
Yes.
Yeah, Duke. Yeah, it's still, even in Duke's down years, which they're not down this year, even in their down years for them, it's still hard to go in there and get a win. Because you know what place people are going in and getting wins this year is the Kennel out in Gonzaga.
Yep.
It's just mind-blowing to think Gonzaga might not make the tournament.
It might be Few's time.
They're straight.
Maybe IU goes after Few.
That would be interesting because years ago they really wanted him, and it didn't come to fruition. And I don't know now, he's older. I don't know. That'd be interesting because he just seems like a guy that's always going to be at Gonzaga, but I don't know. It'd be interesting to me what kind of job Gonzaga is to anybody else. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. They don't have the money. I mean, Naismith is their best player.
Yeah. I mean, is it a job that would be attractive to other people, or is it a job that Mark Few just made good?
He made good.
And without him, it's not the same job. Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you there.
I think him and Adam Morrison made that.
Yeah.
And from there on, it's developed into Suggs, everyone else.
They had that foundation built even before then. I mean, I remember Purdue played them in Sweet 16 2000. So they were building that foundation, but Morrison and Few took it to the next level. And then
But Morrison was on that team as a freshman, wasn't he? I thought he was.
Not 2000, he wouldn't have been. He graduated in like
06. Or 05.
Yeah. I think 06. Because UCLA knocked him out. And I think that was one of the years UCLA made a Final Four.
Okay.
Because that was the Elite Eight game. I think they knocked him out. I just remember him balling on the court really bad.
But I think it's an option that they're probably going to turn over every stone, probably. They're going to do the Ryan Pace thing or Chris Ballard and interview everyone on the face of this earth.
Well, they probably should this time around if they're smart. So we'll see. I don't know. But I know Jeff Goodman was talking about it on the Field of 68. And, of course, he brought up Oates and Pearl, but he wasn't sure if either of them would leave. He thinks Beard would leave. He thinks Iowa State's coach would leave.
Beard would really be like the only name. Because that is a step up from Ole Miss, but.
Well, and it's, he's got connections to Bob Knight. Beard, so the fans would love that.
Anyone's got connections to Bob Knight.
They're
going to be running out of them here soon. Sorry.
If they were smart, they're not. They would stop trying to find the next Bob Knight and try to find their next Matt Painter, to be honest. But hopefully they don't. Hopefully they keep whiffing.
I'm just glad Dusty May went to Michigan because they ain't going to pry him away.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so either. That would be weird. I don't remember the Big Ten coach going from one Big Ten school to another without stopping somewhere else in the middle, football or basketball. I don't recall that happening, but I'm sure that has. I just don't recall it.
I don't think so. Yeah. I bet they throw a feeler out to Mark Few. That just seems too relevant, especially with him being down.
Scott Drew was the first one Goodman mentioned. I forgot about him. He was the very first one you mentioned. He said you have to call Brad Stevens and make him say no, which he will. You have to make him say no. Then he said you call Scott Drew and go from there, which, yeah, I could see Drew leave. Drew won a title at Baylor. I could see him leaving. But
I don't.
No, you don't see him leaving?
I don't. Maybe if they want Bryce Drew, sure.
What's he up to nowadays?
I thought he was coaching still.
He's not at Valpo anymore. That's Roger Powell, who used to play for Illinois.
I saw him at a restaurant I was at. I was like, oh, man.
I was going to say, you should know that. That's right in your backyard.
Yep.
The Beacons, right, now, instead of Crusaders? Yes, the Beacons?
They're the Beacons.
That's hard to get used to.
He's at GCU.
He's their head coach?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Because he's the one who recruited Isaiah there.
Where's Jamie Dixon now?
I thought he was at TCU.
I thought you just said Bryce Drew was at TCU.
No. Not Jamie Dixon is still at TCU.
I asked, where's Bryce Drew at?
Yeah, and I told you GCU, not TCU.
I thought you said TCU. That's why I was where's Jamie Dixon?
Grand Canyon.
Okay. Yeah. All right. My bad. Okay.
That's why I said I don't think Scott Drew's leaving. I mean, what he's built there, I mean, probably the influence he has in that community. I don't see him leaving Waco.
Well, at least we don't have to worry about losing our head coach, I don't think.
I think we got a good 10 years at minimum.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's – even if the NBA came calling, I don't think he would entertain it now.
It's too late, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I just think – with this, the ever-changing college basketball thing, I don't see him leaving for another job. Because he knows how to do it at Purdue the way he wants to do it. And somewhere else, he might have to dip into the portal or NIL more.
He's got full autonomy, too. He can do it. He can run the program as he had.
John here on YouTube says, I live in Southern Indiana, and Beard is the name I keep hearing for IU. Yeah, I can see it. That'd be a pain in our side, but that'd be all right.
I'm just going to ask this. They're going to run out of night affiliates here soon, besides maybe Ball Block. I mean, the ball boy at this point.
Still got old Stevie out in Nevada.
I'm just saying, I don't know how many more affiliates we can go through. I mean, how many would be still at the end of the, they would have to be almost late 50s, probably at the end of the decade.
Yeah. Well, because they'd be in their 20s. His last team he coached was 99-2000 season. It was last year.
So that'd be 30. So yeah, it'd be 50s by the end of this decade if they were in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
That's, turn the page, folks.
Just give the job to Dokic. He'll figure it out for you.
You know what?
Totally joking. There we go. Pat Knight. Now we're talking. He's at Marion.
I'm going to keep my other comments to myself. Probably good. I guess maybe Bryce Drew. Sure.
Yeah. Ted Berkey. Problem is they want the Knight toughness mentality in the transfer/NIL era. They don't mix well. 100%. No, 100%. Yep.
I mean, totally.
It drives, you know, it drives them nuts that Painter's teams play like Bob Knight's teams used to. Tough, smart, gritty, grindy basketball. You know,
very
it drives them nuts.
Discipline.
Yeah, you know it. Discipline. Something that hopefully our football team will be.
We can talk about that here in a few minutes, sure.
40 guys, Lynch.
That's
29 transfers and 11 high school kids. Sign on dotted line 50% today.
50% of your roster turnover.
We knew it was going to be big time.
50% though.
It's not over. There'll be more after spring.
Oh, I know. It's going to be up to 60. Yeah. It's easily going to be up to 60.
There'll be guys that dip out too. So after spring ball.
I think we're going to see 60% of a new roster next year.
Yeah.
From the previous year. Could be good. Could be bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard telling. I mean, there's, yeah. It's just no idea.
I think last thing, I don't have any other comments for Friday night. I think Friday night's probably going to be a win. That's my opinion. I think it's going to set us up. We're leading the Big Ten. That next week's going to be a gauntlet.
Yeah, next week, two big ones next week. Yeah.
Well, there's three games in a row that upcoming that are going to be big.
At Michigan, Wisconsin, at home, then turn around and go to Michigan State. Then you're at Indiana that Sunday. So,
correct.
Then the following Friday is UCLA at home. So,
It's still TBD. I mean, IU's going to play hard, but they might quit after the first half.
You're right. Assuming we can jump on them good enough down there in the first half.
Correct.
But
because
let's look at IU's upcoming schedule. I know it's really tough. I just don't.
I looked at it today.
Who it is exactly? So they got Michigan at home on Saturday. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, and they go to State.
Yep, Tuesday night, late one.
Do you think students' chance we want?
Then they host UCLA. Saturday, maybe I could see that.
They host UCLA, and then us.
So they get the whole week off again. To play us. That's twice this year.
Yep.
What the heck is Illinois doing playing Duke on February 22nd?
Huh?
I recall that happening. They rescheduled their non-conference game to play in the conference play. Illinois plays Duke Saturday, February 22nd.
What?
In Madison Square Garden.
You're right.
Fox. Yeah.
I mean, Illinois got a gauntlet coming up too. Holy smokes.
Yeah. I just looked at that. I remember reading about that now that I see it, but I completely forgot about it.
I didn't even realize they're playing a non-con game, third to last game of the fourth to last.
Not only that, they're playing one of the elite teams in America.
I mean, but I think IU's going to quit. Looking at this Illinois schedule. Tonight, I mean, the game against Rutgers at Minnesota, that's not going to be a cakewalk.
Don't be cakewalk, no.
No. At Illinois, UCLA at home, not a cakewalk. No. Michigan State at home, that place is going to be loud.
They'll want blood for that one.
Yep. At Wisconsin, that's That's actually a good game. Tough.
Yeah.
At Madison Square Garden against Duke. Their easiest game, I think, left on the schedule is Iowa at home.
Well, and you know, I agree. And I still think they're like the most talented team in the Big Ten. If not them, maybe Maryland. But they've already got five conference losses. So I don't even think and you just went over their schedule. There's no way they win all those. So no, I don't even write them into the equation for the Big Ten title.
They still have Michigan and us after that Iowa game.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way they don't drop
three
more. At least, yeah. Yeah. They're going to drop quite a few. I mean, they'll be dangerous in the Big Ten tournament, but that's all they seem to care about. They would equivalent the Big Ten tournament I think they could, depending on their draw and their seed line, absolutely.
I bet they're in the Midwest region if they drop all these games as a five seed.
Yeah, I know our friend who's an Illinois fan does not want a 4 or 5. He'd rather be a 6.
I know. But I think they're probably going to get a 5 because of the odd one wins.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because how
they're
going to
have some, they're going to have some big wins upcoming because they're not going to lose every single one of these games.
Right, right, right. So they're too good too. Yeah,
they'll get a 5th seed in the Midwest bracket with us, or they're going to get shipped out down south.
Well, we can just take care of our business and let the chips fall where they may.
I actually would like to see them. Did they play against? No, they played against Bama. They didn't play against Auburn. I'd love to see them go.
They didn't play against Auburn. No.
I want to see that team match up against Tennessee or Auburn. To be honest. I think those would be
nice for. Yeah.
It will. I only player for player. They're the most talented team in the Big Ten. But
thanks for stopping by, Ted. Have a good night. It's gonna be interesting. See how it all shakes out. I mean, we're all in. February 5th, so got a whole another month.
Well, why don't we pay one more bill and then we can move to football?
All right, let's do that. Great place to get not only Purdue merch, but merch of all sorts of colleges in Indiana except Notre Dame, and even professional teams in Indiana, cultural t-shirts in Indiana, all sorts of things. That's the shop. The shop's been open since 2011. They have brought us vintage-inspired sports, collegiate, and pop culture apparel made from high-quality materials. Based in Indianapolis, Indiana, their dedicated team is here to serve you at their retail locations and at their headquarters, which they got retail locations in Carmel, Broad Ripple, and downtown Indianapolis. And you can also check out what they got online at theshopindy.com, where you can use the promo code BREAKDOWN for 25% off. That includes you can use 25% off on the brand new Purdue shirt they just dropped this week, which is a blast from the past. We're talking the Gene Pool days. The Gene Katie era. Got the comb over on the basketball.
Nice.
2004 Gene Pool throwback. They got a lot of good stuff right now. They got the Script hoodie. They got Script t-shirts in. They got Script knitted hoodie, which I know Webby's got that. They got Purdue three-peat conference champs, which hopefully they got to print up new ones of those here soon in the future.
Yep.
They got Purdue Pete 90s Stonewash shirt. They got Ever Grateful, Ever True oatmeal color, it says. They got Arch Pete. They got all sorts of things. They got the big drum. They got the Ross A t-shirts. They got the old gold t-shirts. They got the 90s retro t-shirt and sweatshirt, just like the one I got on right now tonight. All sorts of stuff. Cradle of Astronauts. They also got great drinkware too. So like I said, go check out the shop at theshopindy.com and use code BREAKDOWN for 25% off. You will not be disappointed. Unbelievably comfortable apparel. All right, Lynch, what do you want to talk about football?
Let's talk about the roster turnover. I mean,
40 new guys in Odom's first class to date, 29 through the portal, 11 through high school.
Winter workouts have started.
Yep. Yep. Conditioning, spring ball will be starting soon. Most anticipated spring game that I can remember in a long time coming up in April.
I didn't think Brahms was more anticipated than this one.
How so?
We wanted something like Brahm with all the new, like, five stars, like George coming in, Rondale. I'm talking that, not first.
Okay. I was talking more of you got three quarterbacks, legit fighting for a job. You got guys all over the field of positions fighting for jobs. That's what I was the intrigue for me is coming out.
Every position's up for battle.
Except Maccabee. Maccabee's got running back one locked, but besides that.
I was hoping Crimmins would stay. But
he ended up going to Illinois.
I know. He got a playoff, but.
Yep. It's going to be another brood of a schedule next year, but new players, new staff. Got to give them a chance.
All you can ask is you better just get better every week.
Be competitive.
I'm not expecting anything great. Just show way more than last year.
That will not be hard to do, I don't think. So,
I don't know. We could go worse. We could lose those first two games.
No, they could. I just don't see that happening. I mean, the talent that Southern Illinois and Ball State's going to throw out there.
Ball State has a new head coach, too, so we're in luck.
Yeah. There. Yeah, they do. Came from Butler. I don't know. We'll see. We're a long time away, but I'm just real intrigued because, I mean, I presume Malik Singleton will get the first crack at starting, but they sound real impressed by the kid coming out from Washington State.
Oh.
From what I've read. I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
It don't matter unless there's better O-line play. You have to have better O-line play in the trenches.
Well, they got a complete new line.
They do.
So, which they did get their first 2026 commit tonight was an O-lineman.
Yes. So, I did see that. I was happy. Makes me smile.
It's sad when I see O-line commits. You're the first person I think of right away.
It's the only way we're going to win. You got to win the battle of trenches.
No, you're right. You're right. And I think Odom's going to try to. It sounds like he wants to run the ball more so than we've seen at Purdue. So,
Unfortunately, I'm going to sit here and say that unless we get better O-line play, we're not going to be able to pass the ball because unless we have elite playmakers, I mean, we've seen in the past 10 years, the only way we win is if we have true NFL talent on the team.
But yeah, well, I can make an argument. You can go back throughout the Purdue football history. Unless Purdue has an NFL caliber quarterback, they don't win. David Blau played in NFL.
I know. I'm Sindelar didn't, though.
No, he didn't. He could. I think he could have.
He could have. He had a strong arm talent.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. But I don't think he loved football either. From what I've kind of heard,
he still had the ability to play. I mean,
oh, he did. No, it's one of mine. What could have been in Purdue football history if he was stayed healthy?
I mean, correct. I mean. I will say that every single one of our quarterbacks that have made the NFL, if you realize this, they all have quick releases.
Yeah.
Every single one of them the turn of the century because our O-line is that bad that you have to get the ball out that fast.
Tough school to build an O-line. Always has been.
Yeah, I mean, it has, but.
Because if you think about it, we're located in the Midwest. If they're trying to get elite offensive linemen, look at the schools they're going to have to recruit against.
You got to find kids and develop them. That's the only way you're going to get them here. Right. Because you're not – you're an O-lineman. You're wanting to go to Notre Dame. You're wanting to go Ohio State. You're going to go to Michigan. You're going to Wisconsin. Well, now Illinois, Iowa, things like this. I think that I trust him because we have no other person to trust at this point, and we got to just – go with it, and hopefully he's got a vision for this. I mean, I think all the fans just want is don't give up every game. Yep. Play four quarters of football and show you're getting better and not getting worse. Yeah,
and play some exciting football, whether that's running on the ground or through the air or trick plays on special teams. Have a fun brand of football to watch.
Put the fullback in. Get a fullback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just run the ball. Honestly, he's probably going to have to run the ball because, I mean, I think there's going to be gaps on defense that he's going to have to control the clock.
Sure. Yeah. like you said, all he can ask for is everything you mentioned and somehow get out to 2-0 start and see what happens after that. Because USC comes to town week three, then Notre Dame week four, and the gauntlet's on from then on. So,
a little bit on, I mean, I saw Illinois' player development left for USC, which is kind of shocking to me. Do you think that's an upgrade?
Probably upgrade in pay.
With taxes? Now we're getting to a whole different topic.
I was going to say, you would bring up taxes. But it probably still is from a true talent standpoint in getting players to the pros, USC probably does. But no, USC's definitely fell down a notch. I mean, this is a big year for Lincoln Riley.
Do you think Lincoln Riley has to make the Big Ten championship? Or get into the college football playoff.
I was going
to
say no, because he can still make the playoff. But yeah, I think he's got to win 10 games. 10 games will get him in.
Where did Miller Moss end up going?
I think Louisville.
Yes, you're right. Yeah.
With Jeffrey down there.
He's going to take another transfer. Not going to get
He'll him. Never. He'll never develop a quarterback. Ever. Ever.
Brady, why'd you leave?
Thing. Aiden's the closest thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
He was a walk-on sixth ring that lucked into getting a chance. But, besides that, Blau was already there. Sindelar was already there.
Dotary?
Jack Plummer was his baby.
What about Dotary at Western Kentucky? Remember he got a cup of tea with the Dolphins in the NFL?
Yeah. Brom was only at Western Kentucky for 2 years.
So, yeah, he didn't have that.
No. So, I don't know. He took Tyler Sal this past year, seventh-year guy from Texas Tech. So.
He's probably just going to keep hitting the portal because I would have thought he'd been playing Brady since he transferred.
Well, did you see what he did?
Mm-mm.
He went into portal again and took himself back out and went back to Louisville again. He can't make up his mind. He must not get the offers that he thinks he's going to when he goes in the portal or something.
Or he's just not cool with being a backup.
Or he's just cool being a backup.
He's not played, so what is he going to have on tape?
Some of these schools, I don't think care if you play or not. You think Ball State cares?
Hey, don't be sending stray shots to them. I mean,
they're the first team to pop my head.
But he doesn't even want to go try somewhere to play. I think he.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
I mean, how many snaps has he taken ever?
Gotta look it up. I don't even know if he's taking an official snap, has he?
He doesn't have a COVID year either.
Come on. I'm looking up. My internet's just being slow.
Oh, here we go.
In 2022, he threw three passes, completed one. In 2023, he completed one for one.
So he's maybe taken a whole of 10 snaps.
Yeah, he played against Murray State, where he's one for one for 7 yards on September 7th.
He has a total of 15 yards in his career so far.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to be a junior next year.
Redshirt junior.
Hey, he's wearing Brian's old number 12 there.
He's got to get in good graces somehow, probably. Honestly, he probably is playing here. He definitely is probably playing last year.
Yeah, well, he definitely would have got time last year if he would have stayed.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Watch, he'd be a Danny Etling and make the pros somehow. That's probably what's going to happen. Anyhow.
I doubt it, but we've seen crazier things happen, I guess. So, any final thoughts, Lynch, as we wrap this up?
No. Boiler up, hammer down, beat USC.
Yep, boiler up, hammer down, beat the Trojans. Thanks for joining us, Lynch. And for everybody out there, make sure you're following or subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast platform, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, tune in, whatever it is. Give us a 5-star rating and review and follow us on all social media platforms at Boiler Break Pod. And of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. So now let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Trojans.